Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining us on the River Islands guest line, Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Let's bring in our main man, Brian Baldinger, who joins us every single Tuesday, or usually every single Tuesday, 7:30. We'll push him up to Monday today because of Klay Thompson's return to the Bay tomorrow night with the Dallas Mavericks. Baldy, good morning to you. You are live and direct in Tampa Bay. And we got some frustrated callers. And look, the way I look at it, Baldy, I get it. It was an up-and-down game for Shanahan, Purdy, the defense. But you get a win in this league. During the week where I see the Saints beat the Falcons, I see the Ravens go life and death with the Bengals, I see the Texans force five turnovers and lose yesterday to Detroit. Minnesota survived in Jacksonville 12-7. It was a nasty week in the league. Survive, win, and survive. And that's what the Niners did yesterday, Baldy. And good morning to you.
It was. Good morning. Good morning, Bonte. Good morning, Joe. It was survival. First of all, credit to 49er fans. That's a long way. They came from all over the country. Like, that was literally, it was 50-50.
Wow.
49ers in that stadium. It was that much. And at the end of the game, when this thing was all coming down to a field goal or score or whatever it was, they were all on their feet. I mean, it was a rowdy atmosphere. So credit them. But, yeah, and look, in 9 games they played this year, they've had at least one major – forget about the missed field goals. That's commonplace right now. But honestly, and I said before the game down the field, that in that going in that direction, the wind was going to be a factor.
Mm.
You could feel it down there before the game. And I don't think Jake really ever adjusted. I don't know if they adjusted, but, you know, I mean, look, Callum's back to return the punt. Luda runs into him. You know, he's being blocked. Those gaps keep happening. They keep showing up. In 7 or 9 games now, they've had a bad special team play that has affected the game.
So, Baldy, I know you're down there for pregame warmups. You're watching kickers. You're watching everybody stretch. The first drive of the game, Shanahan says, no, I'm not going to kick the 57-yard field goal. I don't know what was going on in pregame warmups, whether or not Moody was hitting them from that distance or not. But you just mentioned the win. So the elements were a factor yesterday when it came to kicking down at Raymond James Stadium, huh?
No doubt. Especially that end. That end was different than the other. In fact, we were standing down that end where they missed all the field goals, and we were looking at the flags on top of the stadium. And the flags were blown in a different direction. That in one direction, you know, where they missed field goals, it was blown one way. In the other direction, it was barely moving. So that direction, it was certainly a – I thought it would be a factor in the game. Like, it was that kind of gust that were going that I thought it could bother the kicking game.
So what did you make of the Debo Samuel situation with Jake Mooney and Tabor Pepper? You know, stuff happens in the heat of the game, but you've been on these teams. Like, give me both sides of it or all sides of it on how you saw the interaction on the sideline.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I didn't really pay much attention to it, to be honest with you, Joe.
Why?
I mean, I know what was going on, but I really didn't pay much. My eyes were on the field, on the game, looking at situations. I can't really comment on something because I didn't really pay much. I saw Tim Ryan was in the booth next to me, and I know he was up in arms, and I could tell he was a little animated about it, but honestly, I couldn't tell all the stuff that was going on.
Have you ever seen that, though, where a player goes at maybe one of the specialists, one of the kickers?
Absolutely, right?
Oh, I mean, I was joking that if he didn't make that last kick, that they might not let him on the plane to go home. Maybe they just leave him in Tampa. So, yeah, I mean, I've seen all kinds of situations like that. That's just the emotions of the game. So it's not uncommon. But, you know, when he kicked the game-winning kick, I saw the entire team come and jump on top of him. But, look, if they're going to do anything this year, they got to get the kicking game cleaned up, whether it's the kicker, whether it's, you know, the specialist, whatever. They got to get this thing cleaned up. Because I always say this, Joe, before a season starts, the bad teams are going to lose two games because of their kicking game. And the good teams are going to win two games because of their kicking game. It's going to decide, good or bad, two games each year. And the 49ers are almost on the other side of that right now.
Yeah, 5-4, half game behind Arizona because the Cardinals are cooking. I can't get over this. Monty Austin Fort, the GM of the Cardinals, and Gannon, what they're doing. They're cooking something crazy down there in Arizona. We'll get to them a little bit later, though. But back to the Niners here, as we're talking to Brian Baldinger on the River Islands guest line, the return of Christian McCaffrey. We'll get to Purdy and Shanahan and their performances. What'd you make of Christian McCaffrey in his first game of the season with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis?
Well, I saw him warming up before the game. He looked fine. Everybody told me, whether it's Trent Williams, whoever, he's going to have the precious legs out here. Nobody had any concern whatsoever. He had 19 touches, 107 total yards. He was better in the passing game than he was at running. I just think that anybody who thinks that if you've gone 9 months without playing a football game, like there's not going to be some kind of rust. Like you might have fresh legs. You might feel really good. You may feel better than anybody else because you're not banged up. But it doesn't mean you're going to be super sharp. Like, I think there's still a part of Christian, and only he can really answer this. He might not even be able to answer it. Is there rust on his ability just to make a blinding cut, in traffic? Like, I would think, you're just going to be a tick off. He had some good runs. He had, you saw him in the pass game. He had the explosive, right after the catch. Those were promising type things. But, he had a lot of one-yard runs, in there too, which, is kind of unlike him. And so I just think it was a good debut. They went with him almost exclusively, Lil Debo, one of Jordan Mason. But it looks like he's going to be the guy going forward. So give him the touches, give him some hits on the body, get his body armor up and built up that you can only get in game day action. And let's see if he can start to look a little bit more like McCaffrey.
B and I kind of kick this around all the time, but I think in yesterday's game, I was telling him, game flow-wise, I wasn't sitting here clamoring for Jordan Mason. But at the end of the game, you look at the stats, to your point, and it's like, hey, he only gets the one carry and only a couple of snaps here. What was your thoughts on his workload in terms of snap count, CMC?
I didn't think they were going to be that Christian McCaffrey heavy. I thought we were going to see more Mason. Now, we did see a little bit of Debo. Obviously, had his share of runs, reverses, whatever they were doing with him. But I thought we were going to see a little bit more split. I didn't think it was going to be so McCaffrey heavy, Joe. That was my thinking going in. And then once you saw him come out just a normal kind of rotation, honestly, where he just comes out, give himself a blow, and then right back in. Like, I didn't see him. out for an entire series throughout the game.
You know, I'm watching this game as it's unfolding. I'm saying, where is Kittle? Like, why can't they get Kittle involved here? And he makes one of the big plays of the game, huge momentum play. They're down 17-13. Tampa Bay had just scored. They throw a ball to the flat. He tucks the ball and just starts trucking guys and going. And it felt like the whole thing started rolling downhill. And then, obviously, the play of the game with the lob pass to CMC. And then later on, the Purdy scramble and touchdown throw to George Kittle. Before we get to Purdy and the CMC there, Kittle and just throwing to him just in general, like, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's the greatest tight end in 49er history. I can't speak enough about George Kittle coming out of this game. I love watching him yesterday.
Well, I mean, he's just, he just brings a whole different energy to the entire team and to the organization. And the play you're talking about, you know, they had five plays of 30 yards or more in the game. One was, and they spread them around. Everybody had one, but that's just a drag slide concept. Get the ball in the flat, pretty easy throw, off fake toss to McCaffrey, and you get it out to Kittle. George told me early on when his tight end coach said, you should never get tackled by one guy. Like, George took that little piece of coaching, and he was so determined to this day. He doesn't go out of bounds without drawing a little bit of blood after any catch. And on that play, he turned it up and he plowed through, you know, four or five defenders before they got him to the ground. And that gave that whole team an entire jolt right there.
No, there's no doubt. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. All right, we've gone too long without talking about Purdy and Shanahan. We'll get to Shanahan in just a second. Brock Purdy, look, I thought he was he wasn't as crisp in the first half, some wobblers, some high throws over the middle or whatnot. But you look up and you see 353 yards passing, and I saw a flawless fourth quarter. Now, it was almost fatal with the fumble, and Juwan Jennings getting on the football there. But I thought overall in the fourth quarter, when he needed to make a play, when he needed to make a throw, damn it, Brock Purdy made a throw, Baldy. That fourth quarter was exceptional.
It was. And, you know, I was surprised because I named him the player of the game on national radio, but I didn't know what his final stats were until I saw 353. I mean, you could count the number of quarterbacks in this league that's thrown for 350-plus, probably on one hand right now, so far through 10 weeks. So he puts up 353, a lot of explosive plays, but when they needed him, when he needed the first downs, when they needed to melt the clock, it was one throw after another on timing. And so he delivered when he had to. The fumble, Kalijah Kansi punched that ball out. That ball's dribbling in the middle of the field there. Anybody could have gotten that ball. Juwan Jennings, you know, he beat Levante David to that ball. Like, it was, and there's Purdy crawling and crabbing on all fours trying to get to that ball. Like, that ball was a bar of gold. And who knows what happens if Juwan doesn't get on that ball and beat Levante David to it.
How about Purdy just knowing the timing and the feel to throw it to Christian McCaffrey on the right sideline? That play kind of reminded me of one last year against Jacksonville with George Kittle. It's cover zero blitz Jacksonville. They come out to bye week, go to Jacksonville. He hits Kittle for a long touchdown. Now, they didn't score one under Christian McCaffrey, but that play reminded me of that. Coverage bust, Purdy just throws it up. You're like, what is he doing there? And he hits McCaffrey in stride. That was magical, Baldy.
That is that kind of touch and that sort of belief or trust of where McCaffrey's going to be and be able to adjust to that ball, because that's all he did, was he just threw it out. He was either going to take a sack, take a massive hit, have a fumble, or throw it up and let my star running back go get it. I actually should break that play down start to finish, because when I saw him throw it, I'm like, where is he going with this ball? Like, a helium balloon that's just going to get picked off here. Like, I don't know how you know instinctively to put that ball in a place, let your guy go get it, but he put it where only really McCaffrey could go get it. Under extreme pressure, he's just an amazing play.
Yeah, he made a really nice play in between the Kittle touchdown and that pass that you're referencing, where he scrambled and then stayed in bounds and threw it, you know, away and gets the Mahomes call, as I call it, where you're tight roping. He did a lot of really nice things in this game. His anticipation throw to Ricky Pearsall late in the game, mm-hmm. I thought was just unbelievable before he's even setting the break and just to lay it out toward the sideline. And then the touchdown pass to Pearsall for the kid who played at Florida to get his first touchdown there on that zone play. He waited for the win. window and ripped it over the middle. That was a gorgeous play by Purdy and a great run after the catch by Ricky Pearsall. Jennings and Pearsall, I thought, were awesome in this game.
Well, they're going to need both of them, you know. And so, look, those are big shoes to fill with Brandon Ayuk done for the year. And if they want this, you know, if this offense, and the schedule gets really tough here. You go on the road to Buffalo, Green Bay, you got Seattle. I mean, it gets really tough. You're going to need those type of plays. You're going to need those running catches, you know, that we saw from a group of guys yesterday, Juwan Jennings. And really, Juwan Jennings, his blocking is it's outstanding. Like, he's an every down, all-around player. But, yeah, I mean, Ricky, to catch that ball over the middle, catch a run, stiff arm Antoine Winfield Jr. into the end zone, I was happy for him. I mean, he breaks that ice. I think this was his third game back. He's in the end zone. That's over. So, you know, Fox showed a lot of good sideline shots of him just kind of sitting there. I don't know if it's a look of contentment, but, you know, I feel like he's sitting there on the bench and I'm a part of this thing. You know, it was really because, honestly, 8 weeks ago, it was completely in doubt whether you're going to see anything from him. And you're seeing, like, them performing like this, and the production keeps picking up and up right now. It's a credit to all the medical group in that facility to get him back to where he's at.
No doubt. And to catch a run on a 46-yarder was special. And I said, damn, I want more Ricky Pearsall. I want 10 targets from Ricky Pearsall. Anybody get him over four, Baldy? All right, Shanahan, look, we've seen this before, and I can go back to Super Bowl 54 because it drives me crazy. The clock management at the end of the first half. I want to know what Baldy was thinking while he was live on Westwood One Radio when the Buccaneers, at the two-minute warning, run it with Bucky Irvin -3 yards, and the Niners don't use one of their timeouts, and they let 40 seconds elapse. It's like, wait a minute. You don't receive the second half kickoff. What are we doing here with the clock management, Baldy? Well, it's driving me insane.
So, honestly, that happens, right? And they blow an opportunity for a possession. So Tim Ryan literally is right next to me, keep up. And he's but there's a glass divider, and I'm tapping on the window. And I'm like, what's he doing? Like, he's looking at me going, like, he doesn't know. Like, well, every fan is going, how in the world do you let this opportunity go by? It made no sense. You got 3 timeouts for a reason. Like, I have no idea what they were thinking in that situation.
I see it too much with Shanahan. I honestly, Baldy, I don't really get outraged over it anymore because I saw the Super Bowl 54 and I went bananas when John Lynch is at a sweet set, call a timeout, and in the end of the game, they throw it 4 straight times with 1:49 left at the 49-yard line when it's thinking, well, why would you go deep? You don't want the ball back in Mahomes' hands. I don't know if he needs a clock management coach, but it happens every week to the point where I'm just immune to it, which is kind of sad, Baldy.
Well, I don't think you should get immune to it. I think you should be irate every time you see it, to be honest with you. I've seen coaches. Herm Edwards had, literally a clock management coach when he was coaching the Jets. Like, it's not a weakness. Like, you're trying to do all these different things. And maybe that gets in the way. And maybe he had a reason. I didn't listen to any press conferences. I'm sure people asked him about it. But, you know, in real time, you're watching this. And we're all watching, as an analyst, you're just trying to play out every situation all day. And so you're just in the mind here, like, this is an opportunity to get the ball back and get points before the half. And to see them just not take advantage of that with 3 timeouts, I didn't understand. I really, it just is befuddling.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about defense all year, the coordinator. I thought they got some key stops at times late in the game. Obviously, they gave up some field goals and whatnot. But the play for me, and I know he made plays in this game. I've never seen Baker's rolling out to his right, and Bosa's got him by the arm, and it's like they're walking across the crosswalk together. And I'm thinking to myself, Bosa, take him down. I've never and to be fair. Even though he only threw for 120, I thought Baker competed his heart out in this one. I was very impressed with Baker Mayfield. The numbers do not tell the whole story. I have never seen that. He spun out of a sack later.
Where did player Riga Ronda-Rosie?
Is Bosa afraid of the hip tackle? What were you thinking when that play was going down?
I mean, Baker was holding him off like he was, Bolero in a bull ring. Like, just holding him off right there. I thought there was a period in the game where Nick didn't look healthy to me. Like, he just looked like he was dragging a leg. And I'm not making excuses, but I felt like there was something going on during the game. Now, when he had the sack and he took the guy down, he looked great. But there was a period when you're watching him pursue the play, you could tell like something wasn't right during that game with him. And I don't know if that was during that part of the game right there when Baker kept the play alive and, you know, the 49ers just, you know, were committing penalty after penalty. But, you know, I thought that was Baker at his best. Like, the guy is just a bull. Like, he's hard to get to the ground. He's run for a lot of first downs. He's extended a lot of plays. I mean, that was not a great offensive performance by the team yesterday. But even during this four-game losing streak, he's been the star. And without Mike Evans and Godwin, like, he's kept so many plays alive this year where you think there's no way he's getting out of this. And it's just this great Houdini act.
How did Bosa look in a pregame warm-up when you watch him? Because I saw you always hit the field before the game. We see your slideshow on Instagram or whatnot, and I see you talking to Bosa. How do you look at his pregame warm-up? Because he was questionable. Shanahan was worried about him missing the game. How do you look to you before the game started, Baldy?
He wasn't doing his normal warm-ups. His normal warm-ups is he's just doing these takeoffs from right side, from left side, you know, really exploding and working on his moves, whether it's a swipe or... And he was a very limited warm-up, I thought, from what I'm used to seeing from him. And I didn't know, a lot of guys, you know, it was 88 degrees. A lot of guys, they go out there in that kind of weather. They just want to save it for the game, and they kind of temper things a little bit. In fact, I didn't even see Baker warm up yesterday. So I'd say some guys kind of limited it when the weather is warm like that. I don't know if that's the case. He's from Fort Lauderdale. He's used to the heat and the humidity. I don't think it bothers him. But he didn't look 100% to me for much of the day.
Well, you know, Baldy, like, for the last few years, like, hey, we hang our hat on elite defense, and we're going to run the ball down your throat, and we're going to have big chunk explosive plays. What is this year's Niner team through 9 weeks or whatever? What do they hang their hat on? What do they do well?
They kind of just hang in there right now. And, you know, they don't blow teams out. They just sort of hang around. You know, that's who they are right now. They're not a team that jumps out there and jumps up 14-0 on you. They let teams, Arizona, you know, 50-yard run. You go through special team gaffes, big plays. Even in the second half yesterday, I thought Tampa ran the ball really well against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they really controlled the line of scrimmage. And we've seen a lot of teams do that this year, too. And when you know, this Rams team is going to get better. Seattle's offense line is shaky, but Walker's a hell of a back. Like, if you let these teams hang around, Josh Jacobs, some teams are going to see. You let Josh Allen and that offensive line, if you let them win the line of scrimmage, they're going to take the fight to you. Like, they just don't look like they can shut you down right now, especially in the run game.
Boy, I'm glad they got a win because things could have got ugly. It could have been an ugly day in the Bay Area, but they do improve to 5-4. They'll take on Seattle next week. And look, they're not playing great football, Baldy. They've yet to put together four quarters. That's the most frustrating part about the season so far. Through nine games, they've yet to put together a complete game. So, to see if you have time to turn this thing around, where will you be next week, Baldy? Where are you calling games at next week?
Oh, well, the game I'm calling is played at a completely different level than any other games in the entire league. I'm in Pittsburgh, and Baltimore's coming to Pittsburgh.
Oh, man.
It's play like a Raven.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's just all this stuff that they all believe in. It's going to be, when those two teams play, playoff, regular season, they're hitting. I wish every fan, true fan, could actually just literally put a blindfold on and just stand on the sidelines and listen to the hitting.
Oh my goodness.
Hitting part. It's just played differently and more violently than the end of the game all year.
It's the Steelers, real quick, said, I think they're legit contenders, Baldy. Call me crazy. I love the defense. I love the addition of Mike Williams. He made an impact yesterday in Landover, Maryland against the Commanders. I think the Steelers are legit here.
No doubt. I mean, look, it was beyond questionable when Mike Tomlin inserted Russell Wilson in the lineup. They were doing just fine with Justin Fields. But he also knew they needed to improve the passing game. And Russell's improved the passing game. They added Mike Williams. They got Jalen Warren back. They got their center, who's just a complete wrestling freak at center right now, Zach Frazier. Like, they got all the pieces. Like, this is like, this matchup is for first place in the AFC North.
Wow.
Like, this is going to be, it's, you know, the terrible towels are going to be waving. They might be waving the towels in the parking lot right now in Pittsburgh. Tomlin might be thanking the fans for next Sunday right now out there. I can't wait till Sunday.
I can't wait. Isn't this the best time of the year? Like, you know, a lot of people are doom and gloom this morning. Baldy, there's certain people built for November and December football. Yesterday was a nasty game. It was nasty all across the board. It's not going to look pretty. This isn't the BCS in college football where you need style points. Winner survive, Shasky. Winner survive, man.
It's Thanksgiving time, Baldy.
Come on, Baldy.
I'm ready to start ordering all my fixings. We had a big conversation yesterday. We are fired up because now the weather is starting to turn. Let's go.
Yeah. No, it's football season. It's football season. And all these games, the magnitude, even tonight, like, is Miami going to be in or are they out of them? Are the Rams, you know, like, are the Rams right now contenders in the NFC? Like, all these questions get answered. But the good thing, they get answered between the white lines. And in 60 minutes tonight, you're going to know a lot about the Rams team, which is 1-3 in a row. They're coming out of the crypt. Like, Nakua, like, you know, he's back. Cooper's back. Like, these young defensive linemen are hungry. They look pretty good to me. Like, this is like every single week you find out a little bit more about your team. But to your point, like, you just survive where you can survive. And then when you can start putting it together and really clicking, and, you know, however you get there, you got to find a way to get there.
Gosh, Commanders, Eagles next week. I mean, Baldy's going to be at Pittsburgh
Thursday
for Ravens
night.
Steelers
Thursday night.
You got Chiefs in Buffalo next week, Baldy. Chiefs in Buffalo, Texas. I mean, it's just, I love this type of season, man. It's inject this stuff into my veins.
This is like, honestly, this whole thing is a precursor to the playoffs. These are all playoff games, and they're all going to have playoff intensity. And if you're watching it, if you're at the game, if you're a fan, if you're a player, you're going to feel that completely different intensity.
A good thing for the 49ers, Shasky. They're still in this thing. The NFC West is going to be a dogfight down the stretch. Baldy, you're the best, man. Can't wait to talk to you next week. All right, Baldy.
See you, buddy.
All right, Baldy. Wow.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.